I don't like sports, they're not for me. I don't like to party, I don't like to sleep. Having a good time is not my cup of tea. No, I don't care for much at all, but there is one thing that I'm all for.
G'day and welcome to the Drunken Beersman Podcast. I'm your host, Drunkle Dan, and wow, do I have a show for you. I've got to be completely honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I was actually starting to get kind of worried that with the lack of all the sort of beer news in the media as of the last, I don't know, probably month or so, it was starting to really concern me. I thought that maybe the peak beard was upon us. Not that I see that as necessarily a bad thing per se, which I might get into later if I've got time, because I do have a massive fucking show ahead of us tonight. I've got some nice little booze news, I've got some beard news, but first an update on the podcast. Sorry, look, listen, I missed last week and I do apologize for that. I've got stuff I'm dealing with, okay? As you can probably tell by the sound of my voice, I'm more than a little bit down in my cups of, I'm dealing with shit, so, yeah. Personal problems that aren't your problems. But let us not fuck around. Let's dive straight in, shall we? Because I do have some stuff I want to talk about at the end of the podcast, if I've got time, but I am indeed leaving it until the end. So, since we've last spoke, the world whiskies of the year has come out, done by that fabulous man, Jim Murray of the Whiskey Bible. He has released his list of the top whiskies for 2016. This year's winner is Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye, which is a Canadian whiskey. Now, Jim scored it a 97.5 points out of a potential of 100. Rye, this is what he had to say on it. Rye, that most eloquent of grains, not just turning up to charm and enthrall, but also to take us through a routine which reaches new heights of beauty and complexity. To say this is a masterpiece is barely doing it justice. So, Crown Royal Northern Harvest High Rye comes in at 45%, and this is the producer's, which is the distillery's tasting notes on the product. On the nose, we will find baking spices, cereal, and light wood spices. On the palate, we have gentle oak notes with rich butterscotch, spiced vanilla, which develops into a soft peppery note. And the finish is, of course, smooth and creamy. So this year, in a change from the top three, Jim has actually increased his World Whiskies of the Year to 5, which is also accompanied by his choice of Single Cask of the Year. So here we are, coming in at number 5 is last year's winner, Suntory Yamazaki Mizunara. Coming in at number 4 is a William LaRue Weller Bourbon. Coming in at number 3, we have a Middleton Dyer Galak, I think. Coming in at number 2, we have Pikesville Straight Rye. And number 1 is, of course, a Crown Royal Harvest Rye. So, once again, we notice this year that there is actually no actual Scotch whiskies coming in for the World fucking Championships. Which is really quite shocking, but, you know, this has been the way it's been going for the last year or two, if I remember. Definitely last year, I know there was no Scotch whiskies. I think maybe the year before, maybe not. So the single cask of the year, actually, before I get too ahead of myself, is Glenfarclas The Family's Cask 1957, bottle number 2110. So, Jim said last year that people were shocked when he gave Yamazaki the award. That is, of course, until they tasted it, which, to be fair, it is a fucking smooth, smooth bloody whiskey. In which case, they, you know, myself as well as a lot of people saw it, not so much as an affront to Scotch, but something truly fucking extraordinary, which, you know, to be fair, it has to be to knock a good single malt Scotch off the fucking pedestal. Jim is expecting this year to be a bit more controversy, because rarely is Canada mentioned when it comes to the world's top whiskies. But then again, I have no doubt people finding the bottling I tasted will be blowing away with this whiskey's uncompromising and unique beauty. It certainly puts the rye in Canadian rye. Furthermore, we've got the winners for the Scotch category of the year. The Whiskey of the Year, of course, was also the winner of the single barrel class, which was the Glenfarclas 1957 Family Cask. The single malt of the year, which was in the multiple cask category, was Glen Grant 10-year-old, which is a rather fine fucking drop, if I do say so myself. The Scottish blend of the year was the Last Drop 50-year-old. The Scotch grain of the year was the Clandenny Cambus 1987 25-year-old. And the vatted malt of the year was the Compass Box, the Lost Blend. Now, with the single malt scotches, we've got Ardbeg Supernova 2009, which is made up of multiple cask no-age statements, with the runner-up being Laphroaigh Anquan Mhor. I'm sorry, my Gaelic's a bit shite. Glen Grant 10-year-old won the 10 years and under multiple casks. The 10 years and under single cask was Sar Gruwahewa. I'm really going to brush up on my Gaelic. In the 11 to 15-year-old multiple cask, we've got the Gordon and McPhail Connoisseur's Choice Strathmill 2000. In the 11 to 15 single cask, we have SMWS 4.199, which is a Highland Park blend. In the 16 to 21, we've got the Old Pulteney 21-year-old, which is the multiple cask. For the single cask, we have the Old Malt Cask Highland Park 1998. In the 22 to 27 multiple cask, we have the Glenmire Port Cask Finish, which is a fucking rather nice drop. In the single cask, we have the Wemyss-Kirch Ghetto, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to sit here and go read it all. I mean, you know, for the blended Scotch, Ballantine's has really cleaned up this year, taking out the no-age statement, standard and premiums, with the 13 to 18 year and the 13 to 18 year old blended Scotch. So that's the Ballantine's Finest Limited and 17. Black Label took out the 5 to 12 years, with Royal Salute 21 and the Last Drop 50 year old taking out the older age statements. Now, the Irish Whiskey of the Year this year was the Middleton de Galach, and with the American whiskey being taken out, or the bourbon being taken out, by the William LaRue Weller 2014. So, you know, there's some no real big surprises right there, you know, in the rest of it at least. But yeah, no, how cool is that? A Canadian rye. Now, look, Canadian rye, if it's done right, and by done right, I mean anything pretty much other than Canadian fucking club, because it's just pus in a bottle. It is a really nice type of whiskey, and I quite like rye within both my whiskey and my vodka, actually. Rye vodka is rather fucking tasty, rather smooth, and she's good on the hangovers, so there we fucking go. Because Jim Murray puts out his whiskey Bible every year, and it is the Bible as far as whiskey connoisseurs go. So there you go. That's where we are with the World Whiskey Awards for 2016. Now, while we're on the note of whiskey, I thought we might have a look at this. So the latest to join the list of celebrity-endorsed liquors and what have you is, of course, that lovable Canadian Drake. Following, you know, such people as Puff Daddy with Ciroc, Ludacris for Conjure Cognac, Jay-Z for Deuce Cognac, and Snoop Dogg, and fucking, who else? You've got friggin' Cabo Wabo, and fucking Beckham, and it's a never-ending list. So, at the moment, we have no real information other than the fact that it's going to be called Virginia Black Whiskey. But, you know, I suppose, why the fuck not? You know what I mean? As a general rule, they're not the greatest fucking boozers. Like, I personally think Ciroc is just fucking horrible. It is horrible. It is a sorry fucking excuse for a supposed French fucking vodka. I mean, there is a couple of nice ones out there, but French vodka, fucking really? I mean, Cabo Wabo is not too fucking bad, but as a general rule, yeah, nah, you can keep that shit to your fucking self. But, I mean, we never know. I have sent an email off to try and get a bit more information because, you know, why not? I'm always open to be surprised. Just don't hold your breath, ladies and lads, because in going off old previous sort of examples, it's just going to be sad. What else have we got in the booze news this week? We actually had a bit, which is really good. So, a new study from Oxford University has revealed that being a regular in a bar could actually be good for you. So, it is found that if you hang out at your local pub, you'll be a happier, more well-adjusted person with a kick-ass social life. It'll also put the brakes on your binge drinking. Because, you know, people who know you better won't let you binge drink too much, at least not when you're in their company. And if you're a regular at a pub, these people tend to know you a little bit better and know when you've hit your limit and care for you more, I suppose you could say. So, I mean, getting out there and being a regular at your local may not be such a bad fucking thing. So, that was an interesting little study from the Oxford University. So, last year, I think it was, start of last year, I believe it was, we had a preliminary study that sort of suggested that perhaps drinking beer would prevent dementia. So, I've got a little bit more information on that, a bit more of an update on that story, really, more than anything else. So, the research was done by the Yang Gufeng and colleagues of Lengzhou University, which one would believe is in China, that shows that a compound in hops, more specifically xanthohumol, protects neuronal brain cells and slows down the development of brain disorders such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and other neurodegenerative diseases. This compound works by potentially preventing or slowing down oxidative damage done to your neurons. Your neurons are the things in your brain, the cells in your brain that actually pass the information along. Now, neurodegenerative diseases are a fucking horrible, horrible thing to see. So while beer maybe isn't a cure to these diseases, you can put it right up there with the crosswords and keeping your mind generally active as a good way to sort of help stave off that if you are prone or you have a family history of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's within your genetic line. Yet another thing that hops does that is just great. So, that's really our booze news for this week. Like I said, there's a surprising amount. It's nice to be talking about booze news again. I've got a line on a new bottle that I might actually have a booze review for the first time in, almost 12 goddamn months coming up within the next episode or two, which I'm very, very excited about. So, you know, it feels good to be getting back to the reach. You know, I sort of get a bit, what's the word I'm looking for? I get a bit nostalgic for the old days, I suppose, where we were pure booze and beards, and I sort of miss it, you know what I mean? I really do miss it. I find it's not so much that I'm an alcoholic, but I find there's some really interesting shit. I mean, fuck, beer preventing dementia and Parkinson's, you know, that's a really interesting sort of little topic that, you know, you don't really get to see too much of. So, where else but the world of booze can you find all these interesting little factoids that are just awesome? But let's move on to a bit of beard news, shall we? Sorry about that. Let's move right along. So yesterday in 1947 saw a beard growing contest begin at the University of Houston's Frontier Fiesta. And the integrity of the contest was in the hands of 50 attractive co-eds, with razors who ensured each of the male contestants began with a smooth chin. The prize for growing the longest, funniest, reddest, ugliest, or fanciest beard? A 1947 Chevrolet. Damn! Frontier Fiesta was founded by a group of students in 1939, but the celebration was put on hold during the WW2 from 1942 to 1945. And was resumed in 1946, and according to the university, by the time the event gained national recognition in 1953, the Fiesta was drawing huge crowds of up to 200,000 people. In 1957 of the same year, a local young man named Kenny Rogers performed. Life magazine called Frontier Fiesta the greatest college show on earth. Just as a little bit of a background information. In 1948, the university's president promised to investigate charges of nefarious happenings after the director of student activities told him that all but two of the shows on the Fiesta Frontiers Midway were immoral in one way or another. 11 years later, which was 1959, the Fiesta was discontinued for a variety of reasons, but in 1992, the party was restarted and has been growing strong ever since. Not only do some of the proceeds go to the University of Houston's General Scholarship Fund, the Fiesta also benefits the Houston community, like with this year's Frontier Fiesta March of for Marrow 5K Walk. So, I mean, if you are anywhere around Houston, I mean, you've probably missed the start of the competition now, but I mean, there's always next year, which is fucking awesome. How cool is that shit, man? That competition has been going for damn near 50 fucking years. Next year will be the 50th anniversary of the Frontier Fiesta. So that's fucking awesome. This week, I also discovered the world record for the heaviest vehicle pulled by Beard. We are looking at a man by the name of Kapil Gellert in India, who pulled a 2.2 metric ton car over 40 meters using only his beard. The challenge was held in Jodhpur in India in 2012 and earned the 24-year-old a Guinness World Record title for the heaviest vehicle pulled by beard. To achieve the record, the attempt had to take place on a perfectly level surface and from a standing start. It took Kapil 1 minute 47 seconds to achieve the distance. The strong stuntman can also haul cars with his facial hair while wearing roller skates, and in fact still holds the record for the heaviest vehicle pulled with beard while wearing roller skates, which was a little over a ton of vehicle pulled for just under 70 meters while wearing roller skates. Now, there is a couple of contenders. I don't know their official status within the Guinness World Book of Records. Last year, we had two. We had a fella in Austria pull a vehicle that was about half the weight. He pulled it for, I think it was about 80 meters. And then I've also found a video online of a Pakistani by the name of Montistar A, who used his beard to pull a vehicle weighing 3.1 ton, a truck, if you look at the video. Now, there is video of this, but the official standing within the Guinness World Book of Records is in somewhat of a fucking question. So, there's a couple of really cool little beard world records out there. We've got most golf pens stuffed into a beard, which was done by a fellow by the name of, a Yank by the name of Phil Mataris. A Canadian by the name of Jacob W. fit 202 safety pins to his beard all at once. A fellow by the name of Corey Henderson said goodbye to his beard in style by letting a world record 23 people contribute to shaving it off his face. He used an electric razor and held up a generic plastic bucket to catch all the trimmings. Now, George Gaspar made history by sticking 2,222 toothpicks in his beard, which was a new world record. He beat the previous record by the holder by a staggering 2,000 picks, but I'm pretty sure the master beardsman, Jeff, has beaten that record since then. Another Canadian makes the list by the largest cocktail umbrella beard by placing 28 cocktail umbrellas in his beard at once. You've also got Jamie Trinder, stuffed 22 candy canes in his beard. Heaviest person lifted using a beard was a fellow by the name of Titano Oddfellow, who lifted a person weighing 148.6 pounds using nothing but the power of his beard. What else have we got here? Jeremy the Viking Male has stroked his beard 116 times in 30 seconds. Now, that's an achievable sort of fucking record to beat, I reckon. 116 times in 30 seconds. Why don't you give that one a go? See if you can beat the record. It is amazing the amount of fucking beard records that are out there. And I mean, like, silly shit like freaking... Well, toothpicks is actually quite a fucking achievement because as they get, as you get more and more in there, they spread the, you know, the hairs of the beard and they get heavier and heavier, which could be quite hard. But I mean, 22 candy canes, seriously? umbrella cocktails? Seriously? Damn, man. That is absolutely fucking crazy. So, this week, while we're on the note of beards, I thought I'd have a look at this cool little article with some beard facts. 15 things your dad didn't tell you. And this was written by Kristen Manning this week on pippicorn.com. So I'm just going to read the article at all, and I'm going to leave it to you to decide what you think. So this is how the article starts. Your beard is considered face candy among women, but there are so many lesser known facts about the art of bearding that your dad may not have told you. To fill you in on everything you may have been missing out on all this time, we have finally brought you this handy little article. Don't forget to come back for our part 2 article, blah blah blah, because she split it in 2, because, you know, clickbait. So, number 15 on this list of beard facts is terminology. For those of you who like to get fancy with your facial grooming, it is only fitting to use the proper terminology. The art of shaving can be described as pogonotomy. Pogonotomy? Yeah, well, growing a beard is deemed as pogonotrophy. Number 14, the beard tax. Now, this is a favourite that turns up on these lists all the fucking time. I think we've covered it about 4 or 5 times. So, Peter the Great, who was a Russian Tsar, attempted to impose upon his people the well-to-do appearance of a clean-shaven face. To enforce this concept, and also as a way of raising a lot of money, because let's face it, Russians are pretty well fucking damn known for their beards, he imposed a tax on beards. So the way he used to enforce this tax was by issuing beard tokens. So the way that used to work is you'd pay 100 rubles, which would get you the beard token, which was a medallion that had a beard on it and also read, "The beard is a useless burden." Now, you can buy these beard or replica beard tokens today from beardtoken.com. Funnily enough, it's a guy over in the States who reproduces a pewter replicas of the original beard token. And, you know, if, especially if you're familiar with ratemybeard.se, they're given out like candies, and you can get them, you know, just a token by itself or on a flask, on a cup, as a key ring, as a fucking bottle opener. Number 13, the plot on Castro's beard. Now, this is another one we've covered once or twice, but it's still relatively unknown that I feel quite comfortable sort of talking about it on the podcast again. So during tensions with Cuba in the 60s, the CIA thought up some pretty fucking crazy ways of dealing with Castro. One of their crazier fucking ideas, which became sort of well known but isn't well known enough, the masterminds over at the CIA planned to take out the man's beard. The theory was to grab a hold of his shoes when he sent them to be polished and fill them with thallium salts, which of course sends you fucking bald. However, they quickly put that into the fucking bin of fucking too stupid and started work on the heart attack gun. Now, if you haven't heard of the heart attack gun, this thing is crazy. What this gun would do is you would make a bullet, right, out of ice that had, like, ice that had a poison in it, and then you'd shoot a fucker with it. So what would happen is the ice bullet would pierce the skin and then proceed to melt rather fucking quickly, therefore introducing a poison into your system. Now, this poison was designed to give you a heart attack, and, you know, because there was no real puncture wound or mark left over, you'd end up with just a normal old heart attack victim, because the poison would then, you know, sort of work its way out of the system rather quickly. An indetectable poison, as they like to say. Number 12, the metal beards. In the days of ancient Egypt, it was common for people to don metallic false beards to dress up for important occasions. They were called postiches and were worn by both men and women, most often in the event of solar eclipses. Now, this wasn't just done by the common man. The pharaohs of ancient Egypt also used to wear the postiche as well. All that well-groomed braided beard that you tend to see in a lot of ancient Egyptian iconography was in fact a gold metallic false beard. Two of the most famous wearers was, of course, Tutankhamun, who was only 12 when he died, thus impossible to grow a beard, and also Queen Nefertiti also used to grow the beard, and who was it? I think it was Tutankhamun's mum when she took over the regency of the combined kingdoms way back in the day, also wore a false beard. Number 11, female facial hair. In an ancient legend, it is said that the patron saint of unhappily married women Wilberforce owed her fate to the growing of a beard. When commanded to marry the King of Sicily, whom she did not love, the Christian daughter of the King of Portugal prayed to her God to prevent her from marrying him. In turn, she soon began to grow a beard. The wedding was called off, and the father was so angered that he crucified his daughter. There you go. Didn't know fucking that one. See, we're learning things already. I like it. Number 10, slang terms. Now, when growing a beard, there are many a variety of slang terms that can be associated with this facial hair. A beard can sometimes be used to describe a person who plays a role of an unknown homosexual, or can also describe someone who places a bet for a horse trainer. A cremea is a little beard, and a door knocker is a beard that runs down just below the jawline. Additionally, saying that you have a crumb in your beard might some people to believe that you are drunk. Now, fuck, that's cool, man. I've got to admit, I'm discovering this article the same time you guys are. So, you know, in my typical fucking fashion, I haven't really read ahead, as you could probably tell. But a crumb in your beard, I've been using down in my cups for a number of years, but a crumb in my beard seems rather fucking appropriate. I like that. From now on, when I'm drunk, I'm going to be saying, I better have a crumb in my beard, Squire. Number 9, a manly beheading. In 1535, the notorious Sir Thomas More was beheaded in front of his people. However, before going through with this fateful action, he calmly removed his beard aside from the guillotine, claiming that he had never committed any treason. Don't forget to come back soon to our part 2 article, which, thanks to your hard-working and diligent drunkard, we're going to go to right now. I did not know that. That's cool. Why punish the beard for the arsehole's mistakes, I wonder? That's always the fucking question, isn't it? Moving right along to number 8, Lincoln's beard. Now, this is something that's probably known to a lot of American pagonophiles and a lot of American bearded men, but for our international listeners out there, the iconic beard that adorned the face of Abraham Lincoln was actually grown in response to a letter that the man received from an 11-year-old girl. She claimed that his face was thin and would look much better with a beard. Thus, he became America's first, and some would argue greatest, bearded president. Number 7. For many years now, scientists have been theorizing the reasoning behind growing beards. Now, this is something we have covered an awful fucking lot on. Anywhere from, you know, bacteria beard to peak beard to, you know, the 9 medicinal advantage of the beard, or even the article I covered just last week where they are now thinking there may be unknown and brand new antibiotic properties to the bacteria in your beard that may help fight some really nasty fucking diseases. At some point in history, it became widely accepted that men with beards were seen as sexy. So basically, the art of beards only exists because it's seen as sexually attractive. Now, I call bullshit on that one, but you know, there you go. Number 6, No Shave November. Now, this is a rather new fucking phenomenon. But in retrospect, the movement of No Shave November was poorly planned. Beards are physiologically seasonal and experience their own prime growth in March. Now, this is an American article, so this is something that's a little bit different. Like, I mean, for those of us below the equator, it is a seasonal growth. Now, in summer, you tend to grow your beard a little bit more leading into autumn, getting ready for the winter, and then you sort of don't grow quite as much during winter, and then during summer you see a bit of a peak in your beard growth. But of course, for the Yanks, now No Shave November is of course an Australian sort of originally fucking a fucking genesis of an idea. Now in America especially, like I said, they experience their prime growth in March, and they experience the most shedding in January and November, with November approaching this time. So, like I said, once you start sort of hitting the colder months up north, that's when you start sort of, you know, you've grown your winter coat, so to speak, so it's not really going to grow all that much more. But, of course, down here in Australia, that's when we're starting to really hit our fucking summer. So, you know, there you fucking go. Plus, I mean, it rhymes. Get a fucking grip, people. Number 5, a sign of horror. In the ancient days of Sparta, the Greeks saw a beard as a symbol of honor. To discredit the soldiers that were considered to be cowards, the beards of these men were chopped off in a humiliating public display. Now, this also changed right around the time that Alexander the Great rose to power. he was constantly afraid that within his campaign for world domination, that people would grab, the opposing soldiers would grab the beard of his own in battle and thus putting them at a disadvantage. So that's when the Greeks went from being a race of big bearded philosophers to clean shaven violent McFucks. So, number four comes in with the sacred art. We often see beards as a secular facial adornment. However, in many parts of the world, they are a sacred act of devotion. Certain religions like Islam or Sikhism grow their facial hair to embrace their true form and bring them closer to God. Now, number three is all about the shaving myth. It is often said that beards will grow faster if you shave them, but this isn't exactly true. The same could be said about fucking cutting your goddamn hair. Not only are you starting from scratch when you shave, but you're also technically slowing the growth process because, you know, you've just fucking shaved. Now, number two, the statistics. In terms of professionalism, it may be more beneficial to pass on the facial hair. On the Forbes list of the 100 richest men in the world, an amazingly crazy 98% are completely clean shaven. Now, number one, making it grow. If you are exceptionally eager to step up your beard game, there are steps you can take to make your facial hair grow faster. Although, you're probably not going to like them. Scientifically speaking, the hair of a beard will actually grow faster if the individual refrains from sexual activity for a while. Now, this is actually true. So, the way this works is there was an unnamed researcher during the 70s who would, now this is how this all came about, I should say. So what would happen is this dude would go off to a desert fucking island for, you know, months at a fucking time. But of course he'd leave his shaving kit at home, because I mean, who the fuck are you trying to impress? And what he started to notice over, you know, a series of trips is the last couple weeks before it was time to, you know, catch the boat back to the fucking mainland, his beard would go through an accelerated rate of growth. Now, the theory behind this is, of course, that as you're abstaining from sexual activity, you know, all those sort of hormones to do with you know, sex start to, you know, they decrease for a bit, but in anticipation of once again rejoining the, you know, the mating race, all those hormones, which, you know, chief among them is, of course, testosterone, start to really sort of ramp the fuck up, you know what I mean? You're getting ready to, you know, see a lady or, you know, fella, if you're that way inclined, and your body starts getting ready for the act of procreation, no matter how misguided that may or may not be. So what ends up happening is this accelerated fucking flood of hormones start your beard growing like a fucking madman. So that's how that comes around. So, I mean, that was an interesting little article. You can find it once again on pipicorn.com and just search, or you can just jump on the Google and search for your beard. 15 things your dad didn't tell you, parts 1 and 2. So that's all our beard news for this week. Like I said, it was a pretty decent fucking show, sort of harkening back to the old days with Mr. JD, where that was pretty much all we talked about. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to keep too much longer. Like I said, it's pretty boring listening to one fucker sort of ramble on shit all by himself for too long a period of time. Hopefully nobody fucking dies this week or next week, so I can, you know, sort of get back onto me fortnightly podcast. Now, once again, I have got a line on some rather marvelous products that hopefully I will be coming. There is some interesting stuff coming up in the pipeline, man. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to jinx myself or get your hopes up, but I've got some very, very exciting things coming up within the next couple of months, which I'm very, very excited for if everything works out, if the stars align, so to fucking speak. Just for something different this week, I'm going to end on something else. But before we get to that, you can find me on, you can find us on all the social medias at the Drunken Beardsman or at Drunk Beardsman if, you know, you still follow our now almost dead fucking Twitter feed. You can find us on the Facebook at the Drunken Beardsman. You can find us on the Instagram at The Drunken Beers, but you can find me everywhere at The Drunkle Dan. Not Drunkle Dan, not A Drunkle Dan, not A Drunkle. It's The Drunkle Dan with a K. D-R-U-N-K-L-E-D-A-N with a the at the front. I think that's about it, man. I really do think that is about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for persevering with my fucking erratic bullshit with the recording. And this week, I'm going to end on one of my favourite monologues of all time, just because, why the fuck not, for shits and gigs. It is, of course, the secret origin of Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers. So, here we go. Until next time we speak on the same drunk channel at the same bearded time, stay bearded and beautiful, people.
Very well. Where do I begin? My father was a relentlessly self-improving boulangerie owner from Belgium with low-grade narcolepsy and a penchant for buggery. My mother was a 15-year-old French prostitute named Chloe with webbed feet. My father would womanize, he would drink, he would make outrageous claims like he invented the question mark. Sometimes he would accuse chestnuts of being lazy, the sort of general malaise that only the genius possess and the insane lament. My childhood was typical. Summers in Rangoon, luge lessons. In the spring, we'd make meat helmets. When I was insolent, I was placed in a burlap bag and beaten with reeds. Pretty standard, really. At the age of 12, I received my first scribe. At the age of 14, a Zoroastrian named Vilma ritualistically shaved my testicles. There really is nothing like a shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking, I suggest you.
As long as it's a shaved scrotum and not a shaved face, we ain't got no fucking issue. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Drunk with Dan. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time.
TV. I don't like sports. They're not for me. I don't like to party. I don't like to sleep. Having a good time is not my cup of tea. No, I don't care for much at all, but there is one thing that I'm all for. I don't like Queen. Powderfinger, not my kind of scene. A tropical sunset, a fine red wine. Having sex, it's all just a waste of my time. I don't like you or anyone, but there is one thing that turns me on.
This has been a production of R-Verse-R Media. I'm Drunk with Dan, just reminding you once again that the Drunken Beersmen only promote drinking in moderation. Binge drinking, necking, sculling, shots, all that sort of shit is just fucking stupid. Drink to your own ability and stick to it. If you believe you have a problem, I'm sure you can find many different services out there that will help you curb your problem. The theme song is I Like Beards off the latest Drunken the Beards album called, funnily enough, The Beard Album, currently touring their last farewell tour. So if you happen to live in Australia, jump over to www.thebeards.com.au to find tour dates in your local area. For all our international listeners, if you haven't heard of The Beards, and I mean, let's face it, you've been listening to them for the last fucking 2.5 years here, and you want to check them out, head over to that same address where you can find all their merch. or jump on the YouTubes to find their fucking music clips at The Beards. www.youtube.com/TheBeards. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thanks once again. And remember, a shaved scrotum, just not a shaved face. I don't really like anything. There's just one reason why I'm here. I-